Yo, what's up, family? Welcome back to another episode of Fresh Feral Entertainment. We're your host, I'm Boris the Feral.
It's the kid, Donnie Ascendant. And your boy, Rod the Guy. And we back at you with another banger for the people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you read the title, you know. We ain't really did like a topic like this in a minute. So it's kind of like a refresher kind of to how it started. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Going to the deities and things, and that's kind of how this whole thing went about, and understanding the allegory and stuff about it. So I'm gonna pronounce the deities' names in case you probably couldn't pronounce them as we probably couldn't when we first read them. You know what I'm saying? So we going over the lore essentially of Amaterasu, Tsukuyomi, and Susanoo, and breaking down what those stories represent and the allegory between them. You know what I mean? And this is Japanese mythos that we're specifically dealing with this time around. And really, when you're dealing with any mythos, especially like the ones that are about creation, you know, the creation mythos, it's essentially you just talking about consciousness. You know what I'm saying? When you really break down, you're just talking about all those seven laws of Sahuti, all those principles. It's really just how it's expressed. You know what I mean?
This is true, especially with the duality and shit. That's all up and down this one.
Yeah. And really, the importance of these mythos is just like, it's the whole point of like occultism. It's about the mystery. Because you got to understand the whole point of the mythology is like, why was niggas writing shit like this? You know what I'm saying? What's the purpose of this writing? Because if it was just a story, it would be labeled as a story. But this was, the mythos was like something to live by. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a rule book. It was a guide.
So you gotta have principles.
Right. You got to ask yourself, why did they even have these principles? Like, why was this story? And when you realize these stories be outlandish, you know what I'm saying? Relatively speaking. So you got to ask yourself, like, yo, it got to be something to it why this was so important, because you got niggas being born from tears. You know what I'm saying? Like, from when you go into like the modalities of it. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and jump in it. So to start off this mythos, we got to even, before we even talk about the deities we want to, we got to talk about
that from the beginning.
The beginning, right? So. But funny enough, before we even get into that, I also want to talk about like how we came up with the topic. So like, Don, this was your topic. Talk about kind of like what led you into kind of picking this topic too, you know?
And why was
it? Honestly, I would say first thing that ever got me into looking into Japanese mythology was Naruto. So you all probably know like Sasuke, Itachi, Kakashi, Madara, all them. You feel me? When you get the Sharingan, you get a goddamn Susanoo. So I remember like as a kid looking that up, because you know it was just like I'd just be looking up shit to like either I wanted to draw it or I just wanted to read about it. You feel me? And I remember looking it up and I was like, oh shit, you know, this is like a real deity. You feel me? So I'm looking at it, it's like God of Storms. I'm like, this shit cool. And you know, it started branching out a little bit, but like I ain't really dive into it until we started playing Smite. So like the listeners definitely heard us mention Smite before. I mean, Smite like 75% of the inspiration behind most of the shit we do. But like I remember, you know, Susanoo came out and off rip, he was one of my favorite guys. You feel
he played for a month straight.
Bro, he's fire. I was going crazy with that man too. I'm talking about, I'm diving towers, getting triple kills, man. Them first days of Susanoo was going nuts. But anyways, they started releasing all the Japanese guys. Like I can't remember. Amaterasu was definitely first, right?
Yeah. Amaterasu and Raging were like the two newest guys when we first started playing.
Yeah. Like they was brand new when we first got in, and then a few months later, Susanoo came out, and then you know Tsukuyomi recently came out like what, a year ago, 2 years ago. But yeah, you know, that just it just really made me more interested in the gods, in the mythos, and how they relate with one another. And I always just been interested in Japanese culture in general. So, you know, I feel like we haven't talked about something like this. Why not?
I'm surprised you weren't inspired by this crazy weather we got. You know,
You know, honestly, me as a person, like, I really am fascinated with storms too. Like, just storms, weather, lightning, thunder. Like, any character in pop culture that got lightning powers, bro, I'm gonna always be fucking with that character. So it's like, you know, especially when they come down to talking about Susanoo and the, like, the duality behind storms, you feel me? And, you know, his whole story, like, his downfall, his redemption, like, you know, I really resonate with that story heavy. So, you know, that's also a reason why I wanted to talk about him. And I felt like we talked about him, we get more value out of the episode if we, you know, talked about his siblings as well. We're going to fucking around have to do a prequel episode for their parents, Izanami and Izanagi.
Well, I was going to kind of break down some of the, you know what I'm saying, some of the stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we definitely touch up on them, at least this episode, but, like, to really dive into it. All right. I didn't think about it till you said something, but shit, might as well.
And so, it's like you said, you know, Susanoo specifically represents, like, you know, him and Raging, those are, like, the storm guys. And, you know, I was, what Rod said, thinking about the crazy weather or just how, you know, how prevalent it's been. Always is a sign of something. My first thought when I seen the weather, you know, you got that natural law, the natural phenomenon. You got the law of cause and effect, and as above, so below. So, you know, a lot of chaos energy is amongst us, you know what I'm saying? And the duality of that, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, that it's the ebb and flow, you feel me? It's the ebb and flow. You got the storms now. You already know that fucking blazing heat hot finna come later.
Facts. And so when we're looking at the mythos, like I said, you want every, it's funny because every mythos kind of starts with this big bang-esque beginning to the universe, you know what I'm saying? Everyone always has this big bang, this ultimate creation story, whether it's the Babylon stories with Tiamat and her brother. You got the same thing with Izanami and Izanagi. I forget the husband name. I feel like I be pronouncing it wrong all the time. But and it's always this birthing of light. And it's always symbolic of light. It's always like, it was this bright light, flash, boom, universe. You know what I'm saying? I always hear that. And I'm like, it's consciousness we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? We're instantly talking about consciousness, that light energy, that coming of being. And so, when we're getting into the creation myth specifically with the Japanese, the first thing, you know, you have the first two deities, so we're going to touch on kind of briefly. You have Izanagi and Izanami, who are known as the divine couple. That's clearly right. Representation of your divine feminine and divine masculine. You know what I'm saying? No different than your Adam and Eve story in that moment. It literally emulated the same thing. They were seen as the divine couple because of the elements they had, and they were like the watchers over of what, the heaven, hell, and
pretty much everything,
the earthly realm. And so from there, you go exactly to what the same thing we was talking about in all the astral projection episodes, right? That's your soul, your spirit, and the mind and the body. You see what I'm saying? Those same layers. That's your heaven, hell, and earth. All those correlate to the same thing. So that birth of light, that birth of the universe, the culmination of those three things is you essentially, or that consciousness, that light energy. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like it's like the whole picture. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I think about that, I immediately think about someone just the first object, you know, being a coin. You feel me? You got one side, you got the other side, and then you got the middle. And boom, that's like everything that exists. You feel me? Mindset and consciousness. You got high vibration, low vibration, and then you got when you just being. You feel me?
Facts. Facts. And so one thing, as we get into more of the deities, when you're listening to us retell or summarize these tales, make sure to self-deify. Whenever I read a mythos, I self-deify. Instead of reading them as, again, I don't read stuff about deities as deities. You read them as energies. So that way, you can be like,
you can learn how to invoke it for yourself.
Invoke it for yourself, because what's the point of the story? And if you know it's magic, if you can't use that same magic, you just at that point, you're literally just reading. You're not really doing nothing with it, the information. Because sitting around telling people, oh, you know, I know about the Japanese Lord. That don't mean shit. That don't mean absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things if you can't really use that information. So when we talk about these deities, you can become Susanoo, you can become Amaterasu, you can become Tsukuyomi, and as we express the things that make them up and how they are, you realize these are all components of yourself anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
when you self-deify, it makes things. I mean, I call myself Horus the Pharaoh. That was my first time of self-deifying without even realizing. I instantly connected with the story of Horus. Like, oh yeah, they just come on me. That's why niggas love Jesus so much. Instead of saying it's them, they say Jesus. Because the book tells you, oh well, you can't say that's you now. That's kind of wild according to the book, versus you being able to self-deify and just operate on that same level. You know what I'm saying?
I never understood that though, because that same book say that the creator created us in their image. So
people, it's like a palindrome almost. Like, I'm telling you, it's the same thing.
Like, it's the same exact thing. So it's like, it's almost wrong to yourself and to the creator to not call you them. It's like, I created you to be like me. Why would you not call yourself me? You know what I'm saying? You're my child. You are my creation. You should be connected to me. You feel me? Right. You should be one and the same.
Right. So,
mm-hmm. Like, imagine a mom or a dad like being mad that a kid is out here using their last name. Right. Can you imagine that?
Right.
Look, nigga, how dare you use my name? I don't know you.
I ain't really my choice, big dog. And so, going into the lore, based specifically off that said, just skipping a few of the details about like what happened specifically between Izanami and Izanagi. Izanagi is at one point when he blocks the entrance to the underworld, right? He's crying, mm-hmm. and he like crying like the lake. I forget which lake or which river. And as he's crying, correct me if I get the tears wrong, but I think the left tear, and as he's crying, the left tear bursts Amaterasu, who represents that, she represents almost like the sun, the rising sun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fire energy, or to an extent. And then the right tier is birth Tsukuyomi, right? Who essentially represents that night sky. And as he's continuing to cry, and the snot,
the snot
represents Susanoo, that man, a big booger, you know what I'm saying?
God.
Right?
I think that's important though, like which orifice each one of them came out of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. Like, we know the eyes. You feel me? Like the windows to the soul. You feel me? That's how we gain, or excuse me, that's how we, I guess, detect light. You feel me? As humans, so it's like the eyes being the creation of that day and night. You know what I'm saying? That duality, that immediate creative energy. You feel me? And it's like the nose. Well, the nose is kind of like a weird orifice. Like, you kind of just associate like nasty shit with it, but you also associate breath with it.
Right.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So like, it makes sense as to why Susanoo's story is like, damn, this little nigga was crazy as fuck at one point, but like, you know, he also came back. He was kind of important. You feel me?
Yeah, you needed it. You needed the
right. Like, you needed it. So it's like, I don't know. That's just me thinking. What y'all think?
No. It's definitely. Go ahead.
I'll say. I was fucking what he was saying. Like, yeah, hit on the nose, my boy.
And kind of going into the deities, like Amaterasu represent. Well, the story was also you couldn't. It was a time where you couldn't find Amaterasu and Tsukuyomi separated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, they were always together. They were always seen together.
Yeah, I always seen stories of them like as a couple.
Yeah, they were always, there was a union that represents that divine energy we're talking about, right? The night and day, the dark, the light side, the yin, the yang, the positive polarity, the negative polarity. And if you pay attention to the story, It's obvious that Tsukuyomi represents the negative polarity, but he never does anything bad. It's not because, again, the negative polarity, the dark side, isn't necessarily bad shit. There ain't no such
thing. Yeah. His story is just unfortunate.
Yes, just unfortunate. Things that you would, or the things he do, you was like, well, I wish it wouldn't happen like that, or I wish he didn't have to think like that, but that's the opposite. That's the modality of it. That's the duality of it. That part is always within you, right? So, like, you have the story where I think it's one tale with them, but that kind of leads into why they separated and how you got that day and night sky, right? How she exactly became the rising sun and he became that moon.
Oh, yeah, because then he pissed her off and made her go into hiding.
That, too. And it was the one where, like, they were... It was this deity that had that was like feeding them. You know what I'm talking about?
I got it right here, my boy. Where is it at? Uke. Okay, I'm gonna butcher this. Uke Mochi, the goddess of food and cooking.
Yeah. There we go. Right there. That tail. And
oh, this is so disgusting. I ain't gonna lie. You want to see
the tail? And Masarasu was there, but I think she had something to do. So she asked Suki. She was like, "Yo, can you?" Pretty much entertain her while I go handle some business. Tsukuyomi, so like she feeding Tsukuyomi, and Tsukuyomi trying to run, wondering like, yo, where all this food coming from? And dude go check the back curtain, and basically every orifice on the deity body is where food coming out of. You feel me? Like anything with a hole, food was coming out of. You feel me?
Like, bro, nose,
ears, mouth, coochie, booty hole, whatever. And Tsukuyomi was the so disgusted he chopped the motherfucker head off.
I mean, my boy, she was throwing you up fish and rice. Like, I don't think
milk coming out the nose, you know what I'm saying? Water going out the booty. Like, he was like, ah, nah, big dog. Chopped the head off, right? And part of it was how Amaterasu was so pressed with like how he dealt with that. That led into like part of the reason why they even like separated, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yo, you kind of messing up my image, right? And so, again, think what I'm saying, the image, the portrayal. So now you're talking about exactly what the whole conundrum is between Horus and Set. The image that Set holds is this usurper, right? You know what I'm saying? This figure, right? This jackal, this sly dog, you know what I'm saying? That you can't trust. You're like, yo, what's up with you? So the whole, it's always the same story. It's just, it just changes based on your
a different lens.
Yeah, it just changes based on your location, right? And your terrain. It never changes, but the meaning stays the same. You're going to ask yourself, how come the story is the same no matter what region you go to? You know what I'm saying? The only people who got a somewhat different story is the Slavics. I don't know what they was on, bro. Different things in them woods, my guy.
Okay? Hey, bro.
And you see in Kernabog and the Morgan, they was having a different way. You know what I'm saying? They seeing a man with a giant arm running around for cooling. They got different.
Oh, yeah, they was.
But the Mayans. You go to the Babylonians, you go to the Persians, you go to the Olmecs, Incas, Mayas. You have this same modality, the same story of these two halves, right? And so it's another story that leads into their why they also separated. Don, you was about to mention that one?
Well,
actually, this might be the same story.
It's one long, like, just all the lore is like all connected. Like, it's literally like him, her being disgusted with Tsukuyomi led to Susanoo's interaction, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not as familiar with Susanoo's part, because that part was pretty long. I'm not going
to
hold you.
Yeah, I feel you. But before we get on to that, I kind of like viewed this as, also use the media too, like it's relationship amongst like siblings, you feel me? Like, of course, the oldest sibling, like most responsible, you know, they're like the, what's it called? They have to put on the best show because they have to show the other siblings the way. The same way how Amaterasu, somewhere I see like Leonardo from Ninja Turtles, like he got to take care of the other ones, right? Then you got the middle child, that's going to be Tsukuyomi, right? Tsukuyomi, of course.
Like he's blending of Michelangelo and Raphael, you know what I'm saying?
I saw Tsukuyomi as Raphael because he's older than the other two, but he's still kind of competing with the older sibling for the spot. Cause he got that chip on his shoulder, and then I see Sano as the troubled child. That's straight Michelangelo right there. That's pure Mikey to the core.
Yeah, no, no, that's actually a great analogy, you know, to think about it. And I guess that would make Izanagi the Master Splinter, you feel me?
Yeah.
Because, especially when we get into Susanoo's part, how Izanagi, didn't he get, like, exiled because of his actions, too, at some point, too?
With mm-hmm.
becoming the Raging Storm that was is associated with his character, that whole nature, which leads to that whole storm, that's the whole thing you said about storms, Donovan, you get both aspects from it. You can't
Susanoo,
right? You know what I'm saying? Like, think of for instance, you hate a real bad thunderstorm, it can lead to tornadoes, and you know, in that part of the world, it's monsoons, right? But at the mm-hmm. same time, if you ain't got no water, you praying for a storm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, now, that's exactly how it was. Because in some stories, you see him as a tempestuous guy, like you see him in the light of destruction. You feel me? You right. see him destroying houses and crops, and you know what I'm saying, you see them killing. But in other stories, you see people awaiting his return. You feel me? You see people waiting for him to come and bless the crops and bless the harvest, and you know what I'm saying, get a nigga some drinking water or something. Like, it's just real cool to see how many different ways, you know, he comes into the mythos, you feel me? But it's like, it's interesting in every way. You know, it's like, it's real easy to look at it for yourself, because it's like, damn, you really got to take it for the good and the bad. Like, it just is what it is. It's funny, a storm.
Funny, because I kind of just, what you said made me kind of piece a new way of looking at it. So, upon, you know, Tsukuyomi chopping off old lady head, and that leading to kind of that splitting of Tsukuyomi, that leading to Tsukuyomi being specifically popping out during the nighttime, and Amaterasu being the rising sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's storm energy, and you can have a storm no matter time of the day. You see what I'm saying? No
yeah. matter
which aspect of the day you get, the storm is still there. So that's representing of that energy, that duality of it. It's always there, no matter if it's day or night. You just have more energy attributed to certain sides, but you can still have the same outcome. You know what I'm saying? The magic is still available. Susanoo represents that magic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's able to do regardless of whatever phase he's in, you know what I'm saying, whatever polarity he's operating in, you still have that magic at the end of the day. And so I forget, what's the event that Susanoo does that creates that leads to him getting exiled to begin with, that forms to that forming of that storm he becomes?
It's because I thought it was because they had a competition amongst them. I forget what the name it was, but they're trying to prove like who's the most sincere. And Amaterasu technically won, but Susanoo, like, you know, being the loud younger child, he spazzed out. And then that's caused Amaterasu to banish him from heaven.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. Him and Izanagi, they were like, yeah, bro, you're going to have to dip and wilding out.
Yeah, he said he caused a storm to destroy her rice fields and threw a horse at her servant and killed her, like something like that.
Right, and see, the horse, you know, so that's why, you know, when we play Smite, whenever you lose, you get the horse with the mountain.
Uh-huh.
Right? So that's representing, you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I done lost with that character a couple of times. Right?
So it represents that too, and it also represents, I think, essentially, another aspect of Amaterasu that I like is the story of how she gets the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And what that represents, I think that represents seeing yourself for who you are, like that true aspect, right? Because I forget what exactly is said, but long story short, I think doesn't Amaterasu runs to go hide in the cave?
Yeah.
After their fight, yeah.
That's what plunges the world into darkness.
Right? So you have no more light energy coming through. No more light, no more like straight. You have just dark side energy. You can't live off just the dark side, simply as you just can't live off just the light side. So you have nothing but the negative polarity, but nothing else to counteract that, to balance you. And so without that energy, no rising sun, you essentially are just losing consciousness, losing light, which is part of what you said, places everything into this dark abyss. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Infinite nighttime, it's infinitesimal darkness. And so, again, it also, it's funny because how the story kind of shows up. The light comes from the darkness. You know what I'm saying? The consciousness mm-hmm. is birthed from that darkness. You can't really understand where you at until you've been, or until you've been in the darkness, or you choose to go.
Yes, sir.
you can't really see what you need to see if you only trying to, if you're straying away from those aspects of yourself, right? Which is why they're so hard for people, which is no different than what you do in meditation. You know what I'm saying? Wait for that light to come to you and see what you're supposed to see. And so they crafted that mirror. I forget what they crafted out of, but that mirror represents her being able to see herself. And
oh yeah, I'm Tarasu's mirror. Hell yeah.
It comes as a result of her leaving that
cave. Magatama, I think.
The name of it?
Yeah, that was the name of what it was covered, the mirror, Magatama, or what it was covered in.
Nah, the mirror is the Yata.
No, I mean what you say it was made out of. I think it was
it's a jewel. The Magatama is a jewel.
Yeah. Gotcha. Right? Oh, especially because, oh, you just brought so much. Because I remember in the Fuero, I think it was the Fuero area, era of Japan, but all the jewelry of Amaterasu, I know the mirror, the jewel she wore, and something else were all actual artifacts at the time.
I think it's the sword. They was the three imperial regalia of Japan. Yeah,
there you go. There you go. The imperial regalia. Mm-hmm. And I forget, I think they lost the latest piece in like the 1800s.
But they lost what in 1800s?
Well, they don't have any more of the regalia. It's all gone, right? Yeah. But I think the last piece to be lost, it was either the sword or the mirror, but I think they lost it like in the 1800s, right?
Damn. That shit's still out here somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so what this also represents too, I think, is how you can, the power of, when you hear a story about a deity or they crafting an item or a weapon for a deity, it represents the sigil, right? And so anyone can create a sigil. It's basically you imbuing a spell into an object. Right, it's no different than it's a talisman essentially, and people don't understand how like a talisman works. You imbue the spell, you make it work for how you were. Like, you're like, oh, this necklace gives me good luck. You're like, well, how? I could put good luck in there, nigga.
That remind me of what's it called? That scene, Ragnarok, when he was like, are you Thor, the god of hammers? No, never the source of power. Like,
great example, right? And so. Of course, there's a downfall. You don't want to become the artifact because, and that's the duality of that as well. You can imbue your magic into anything, but you don't want to forget that you don't need that talisman to do your magic, right? So, like how religion does things. People, it's like, I can only do this with the help of my God. And so while you're still doing the task, you're not giving the power to yourself. You know what I'm saying? You're finding an explanation because you can't rationalize it being coming directly from you, you being the source of that power, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, this can't possibly be right because they said that's not really it. But that's the whole purpose. So the Bible essentially would be a sigil. The Quran, the Torah, almost any religious text or anything that you choose to be can be a sigil, right? So all you're imbuing your energy with something, right? You're like, yeah, this is my good luck chain, or this is my lucky sock, or you know what I'm saying?
The conduit.
Yeah, it has power because you're giving it power. Like,
right? So it's no different than when you, like, when I put this fit, the holes come every time I put it on, right?
Yeah.
Every time you put that fit on, it's a movie. And that's like your signature fit, you know what I'm saying? You know when you got that one fit, and you like, it never ceases to fail you. And everything, you know, or whatever the situation, you like, this it, right? Because you've already put your magic in there. Like, you don't need it, but you put an energy onto it to where,
so you know that hoe gonna do his job.
You know it's gonna do his job 24/7. You know what I'm saying? 365 days of the year, because that's what you did. So if you could just put that same energy and same magic into anything you want, everything is attainable, everything is in reach. The only notion about going and getting it is if you need it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Damn, that's facts though.
Right, so her imperial regalia was so revered because it's an ancient spell. You know what I'm saying? What the mirror represents, what her weapons represented, all that. So
important. It was like I forgot which is which, but is wisdom, benevolence? Oh, actually, the sword is virtue and valor, and then I think either the jewel or the mirror is benevolence, and then the other one is wisdom.
No, you know what's crazy? Ain't that like the name of her move on the game too? Like wisdom.
That is, bro. That's her all in her passive, bro.
Yeah, I would say her moves in the game are based upon those virtues. Like, they all are named after. I think the only thing that's not, it's like dash and light or some shit. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, most of her moves represent the virtues that she represents as that rising sun, right?
Yeah.
So they all play, and that's me. Now, I don't think Tsukuyomi had many sigils. He represents essentially the moon. The moon itself is a walking beam.
I'm about to say that thing, the way it's a different phase every night, it's a just ever changing. The relationship with the ocean and the water is just, that's his own thing, man.
Right. And then even Susanoo, I believe the sword that he finds at the
very the sword that he got. He gave it to Amaterasu.
He kills with, no, it's the one he kills with the dragon, you know? And then he finds the sword like in the dragon's tail or something.
Yeah, he found the Kusanagi in the dragon once he killed it. And he gave the Kusanagi to Amaterasu. But the sword he used is the one that got the, see, it's the eight knot sword, because it was an eight headed serpent.
Right.
Every time he hit it, it broke a piece off the sword.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. That's why the sword got that.
Nah, shit.
And boy, dang, I wonder why. This is a fine design, but I wonder why.
Hey, it didn't click to me.
Right. I thought it was just for show. Like, damn, he got all these notches perfectly placed in eight.
Right. And then you think about it, I was like, oh, that's why I got the eight notches. Well, damn. Right? And so, now, that wasn't Al Kwan he killed in the story, though, was it?
I don't think so. I think it was, I think I got the name.
Whoa, actually?
Yamano Orochi? Yamata no Orochi?
Oh, junk. Okay, see, now we talk.
Orochi?
Right? So, hey, we're not going to turn this to no anime conversation, but that same deity you be speaking of also appears in the show. You know what I'm saying? The same eight-headed. Okay.
That man was eating them that family's daughters, bro.
Yeah, that's right. He was taking them as tribute, right?
Nah, he was just a menace to the countryside.
Yeah, he was out, yo, every year I'm coming and getting one of your daughters. And he was in the last one. That was before Susanoo came. That was his redemption arc. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he had to prove to somebody he could do it right.
Right. And in relation to the creation mythos and everything, you ultimately are looking at balance, creating a balance. And that's what every mythos revolves around, is balance. It's all about creating a balance in the universe. Everything, it's never really a good or bad ending. The ending just resolves in balance. You know what I'm saying? No matter what pantheon or, you know, group you're looking at, everything revolves around balance of essentially the universe. You know what I'm saying? Balance between the heavens and the underworld. You know what I'm saying?
It always ends up just being a light side that exists and a dark side that exists. And this factor that is just present at every moment.
Right. And the story is, someone escaped from the dark side. Until it's all back to normal. So it's never a battle between light and darkness. The battle is achieving a balance between the two, because you can't get rid of the darkness. You need it in all aspects. And that's what makes it so important. And you find this in nearly every creation myth, because it's really an epitome for reality. Right? As above, so below, duality. These are concepts and allegory, because you are merely passing through Earth. You aren't here to stay. Nothing you do, and see, if you look at, you can look at things in two ways. You can look at it from a human standpoint. Yes, we can understand what we do, yada yada, 50 years from now, got you. But beyond that, your death impacts absolutely nothing. You are a grain of sand in an infinitesimal universe, bro. We could be in a pocket dimension for all you know. Absolutely nothing. What you do,
it would be cool.
Right? Earth is just something you pass through. And if it wasn't, every story wouldn't deal with heaven and hell. You see what I'm saying? No story actually revolves around what happens on Earth. It's about what happens after. Earth is just the passing state.
You really just be there.
I want to say it's your neutral state, but it's more like a testing ground to see if you got to come back through this realm again, right? for. And again, it's like, mm-hmm. it's like a conversation we had off air when I said, like, how do we know what's going on today hasn't happened 50 times over on Earth already, right? How do is it not being reset, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like, this seems so important right now, but we have no idea.
We have no idea this has happened 10 times for now. You know what I'm saying? 10 times over by now. Like, how many times have the humans fucked up? And he's like, damn, these niggas keep fucking up. They just keep. He's like, every time that nigga find fossil fuels, them niggas fold. Right? And so, understanding that the universe itself is constant. We could be on a hard drive on top of somebody's desk. Right? We could be, this could really be The Sims. Art imitates reality. So, also, guys, goes into when we're talking about Japanese lore and mythos, the cosmography, right? You know what I'm saying? How the drawings. Japanese lore is specifically about understanding the union about the universe in reality. That's why it was called cosmography, because it was relating the cosmos to whatever was happening here. It all points, everything was related, everything correlated, right? Why you see the yin and yang symbols. And it's funny enough because the Western world loves the ideals of the Eastern world, but doesn't implement them. We like it. We like it as entertainment. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's fact.
A realist concept. And if we do like them as a realist concept, we don't take it beyond the entertainment, right? Take it into your own hands. Utilize the power. It's all the same shit. This is all the same stuff that's been going around. These are all sigils, right?
All energies just waiting to be invoked by one of you niggas.
And so, what I would recommend, a book I like to recommend if you're still listening at this point is, I think it's called The Book of Deities. I'm not even gonna hold you. It's like a book, and it's just full of the book is just full of deities, and it's more than deities than you can think of, hundreds of thousands of deities in the book, and it's an explanation of every deity.
It's the book.
I want to say it's called The Book of Deities, but I could be wrong.
Well, that would be easy.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be. I think that's the name. I don't remember the author, but it's called The Book of Deities, just full of deities. You can probably find a PDF of it. And so that's how I practice self-deification. So if I read anything that has any talk about deities, I only read them as myself. Because it's like you're unlocking a skill point. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, boom, this is the type of energy I need today. Let me tap into Dionysus. Mm-hmm. Let me tap into Olaf. Let me tap into Kepri. You know what I'm saying? It's an infinite mind field. That's real elevation. Being able to use the magic to actually affect your current state, your current world, your current reality. That's what a magician was, someone that could alter reality, right? That's why it was seen as alchemy at the time. Like, how you doing that shit?
Yeah, we all do. We just don't realize it.
Right? And you do it so often through the day-to-day, but you either aren't aware of it or you say things jokingly until it actually happens and it's now a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You just is unaware. Yeah, you're just driving blind. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But you're right. The real magic is being able to do that shit on purpose.
So on that note, I think we're going to close out this episode. I think we're going to do some more deity-based episodes, though, as, you know, continues. I think this kind of gets back to the roots and kind of extrapolates everything. I think I want to touch on some Norse ones in detail in the future, especially, you know, Ratatoskr and Jormungandr. As much as we talk about them, I think when you're looking at them on the scope of a planetary and just like a strictly metaphysical aspect, you can really pull out some nice gems from it. From
that. I'm trying to talk about that monkey motherfucker.
You gotta be specific.
I was waiting for the other ass, like, which one?
I'm dying.
But on that note, fam, we can definitely close this out. You feel me? So you all the guys know what to do.
Hold on before we close this out. Would y'all or would y'all not have killed that the god for throwing you up rice and feeding it to you? Yes or no?
Nah, see, I would have been disgusted when I seen the certain orifice and what food came out. You feel me?
And it looked delicious. You just know where it came from. So yes or no? Like, it's
spooky wrong. The moment I seen like a kiwi coming out your booty shoot, yeah, dog. Yo,
nah, see, that's what I'm talking about. You shooting kiwis and you want me to put my mouth on that? Nah.
Oh God.
Chopping your head off.
Hey, you grab ass nigga, you know.
For sure.
But on that note, you know what to do.
Heck yeah. From men to kings.
And from kings to gods.
It's the thing. Fresh Fair Entertainment. Peace, family.
Rice.
That was good. That was smart.